Floyd Knightlock Jr. here, and we're finishing up another show for the books. And this one has been about retirement planning, college plans, all that kind of stuff. And I want to encourage you to, you know, just go back and do a review. I had people, when I first went back on the air, you know, I was on the air for many, many years. Dave Ramsey and I were partners in the Money Game. And we started, I was at the very beginning, I started that show with Dave. And we started teaching things, but it was 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Did that for, you know, 7, 8 years. And, you know, we had so much time that we were able to just talk, you know, and give people more you know, information and stuff like that. So I've been doing a lot of review, and I try to repeat and do a little more review where you can get there. But if you really want to know what's going on, go to the podcast and Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour podcast. You can get there. You can go to the website, roymatlockjr.com, or any of your, you know, wherever you download it, iHeart, Apple, whatever it may be, you can do that, Spotify, and get those. But what we're doing now in this last segment is we're talking about the different college savings plans, all right? And so the college savings plans, in summary, of the first two we talked about, an ESA and an UTMA. An UTMA is a gift. It doesn't have to be used for college. It grows at a lower tax rate, but it is taxed. ESA is limited to $2,000, whereas you can put an UGMA or UTMA, you can put up to $15,000 in, and you can put that money in, and it grows tax-free, and you can move it around for beneficiary. Now, what if you, like your grandparents, want to do you know, something for your kids or whatever it may be? Then you might go with a 529 plan. And a 529 plan has got a lot of benefits to it. A 529, you put more money in it. I mean, you put up $300,000 to $500,000 in it, depending on certain different type things. But the key with a 529, it grows tax-free. You can switch to another beneficiary. There's no income limits. It doesn't have to be a family member that you're where the ESA is a family member. You know, it doesn't have to be that. So there's all these things. So what I like to do, and I'm going to give you kind of a thought on what you might consider if you were wanting to do things and really change your family tree. So first thing you can do, most of these accounts can open them for $250, $500, or maybe $50 a month. So let's say you got some money, and you've got some kids, you got some grandkids, you stuff like that. You know what the you know, the wealthy do. I can tell you the difference between the wealthy and because I work with people who have done it. All right. And the people that are trying to get there, there's little things that they teach, okay? So when you're young and getting started, and if you come from a middle-class family and you haven't had a lot of financial education, the first thing that you're told to do is you should open a savings account. And so you run down to the bank and you open a you think you're doing good. You got your savings account. And you go in there, a passbook savings or whatever it may be. And so you open the savings account, and then the next thing you're told to do is you got to get a college degree and get that. So you go out there and get that college degree, may go in debt big time to get that college degree. And the reason you do that is because you are told that's what you need to do. Now, keep in mind, there are a lot of other things you can do other than get a college degree. You can go to a trade school. You can go become a plumber, a roofer. You can do all these kind of things, construction. I can go on and on, but you go get that. And so now once you get that, you say, well, I got to get a good job with benefits, all right? And those benefits, you know, health insurance, stuff like that. So I got a good job. So what we've done, we've walked down this path. It's a recipe, all right? So now we've opened our savings account. We got a relationship with the bank. Now we can go down to the bank and get in debt. So we have to establish good credit. So now what we've done is we've, you know, opened a savings account, got a college degree, got a job, established credit. Now we're in debt. Now we're slaves to our job, and things are not going well. Okay? And that's the recipe. We don't know what to do. Now we've got car payments, credit card debt before, because we don't know what we're doing. All right? Now, I talk to the wealthy people. First thing they do is they teach their kids how investments work. I did this back when they were very young, show them what a mutual fund was, how to bypass the middleman, don't ever go to the bank, and we open up a little little account. So you might open up a $250 or $500 account. Then every year when you start making gifts to your grandkids and stuff like that, you put it into this account. So you throw money in there and you teach them and you show them the statements, all right, how they work, and you show how their money's growing. And then you also show where the money is, all the different companies is what I did. I said, look at this fund. It owns all these companies that we already do business with. And then I remember back as a kid, my dad, we went to McDonald's, okay, rather than Burger King. And the reason we did that was because they did business with him. They bought trailers from him, so we contributed. And I don't know that burgers that we bought from McDonald's mattered. Okay, I doubt it. I don't think McDonald's made it over the fact that we ate burgers from McDonald's rather than Burger King. But the reality is why wouldn't you do business with companies that you own, right? And so you start doing that, you start teaching things, and then you be real smart about, college, all right? Should they go? Should they not go? Where should they go? They do all that kind of stuff. I didn't finish. Okay. I turned out fine. My dad didn't finish. All right. So that's okay. So you start doing it. So you start looking and say, I could be self-employed. All right. And I had somebody I talked to just recently, and she told me, she says, I got this college degree. I don't even use it. All right. And I want to do something different. All right. And so you start doing that. Then you figure out that good credit is really bad. Okay. I don't mean it's bad to have good credit, but most of the time people have great credit, it's because they got a lot of debt. Okay. That they've been paying back. So their credit score is high, but their net worth is low. Okay. And then they get themselves in trouble. So instead of that, you learn to do things to cause yourself to be in a better position, all right, and by buying used and doing all these kind of things. And then that gives you a chance to have a sideline business where you can raise your income in a big way. And before you know it, you've got big income, low expenses because you've been smart with your money. You've got a big gap in between. And then opportunities show up to you that you wouldn't be able to take advantage of if you didn't do that. And then we call it being lucky. Okay, a lot of people think it's lucky they were able to take this money and put it over here and it did this. No, most of the time it's called planning for it. And so then one day you wake up and you're like, wow, things are doing good. All right, my kids just graduated from college without, student loan. They have the option. I think college is great, all right? But the point being is it worth going, putting them in debt? I met with somebody just recently, a lawyer, and she told me she had $300,000 in student loan debt. Think about that. $300,000 in student loan debt. I hope it's worth it, all right? But the point being is that what we do is we do things that allow us to move forward. And I want to encourage you again to get educated. If you spend just a little bit of time, 15 minutes a day on learning about money, compound education on money over a year, over 5 years, next thing you know, you just make good decisions automatically. All right. And you can do that just by tuning into the podcast. Every day it'll be delivered to you about 15 minutes. It's usually about 8 to 13 minutes, if that kind of tells you how long this thing works. And so what you want to do is you want to just make sure that you are running a business for yourself. And I don't care if you work for someone, whatever it may be, we want to look at and we want to run a profitable business. And how do we run that profitable business? We take a look at where we're at. So right now, if you haven't done this, you should do this. We've gone through this whole series, and as we go into the next show, what I'm going to do is kind of pull it all together. I got every question you can ever imagine. We're going to talk about, how much you should pull out, all right? So we've made it now. Think about this. We started from zero. If you tuned in at the beginning, we got a budget set up. We worked on getting out of debt, buying the right insurance. We, put ourselves in a position where we had an emergency fund, so we didn't go in debt. We then started looking at high understanding investments, compound interest, the FIN number. We are looking at retirement plans. We've talked about college plans, self-employed plans, all these kind of things. Now you've got your FIN number, you're winning, and every year you want to start looking at, how am I doing? And how do you go about doing that? You do a balance sheet, okay? That's where you take your assets minus your liabilities. That gives you your net worth. That's what you're going to one day be using. I say your net worth other than your home. Your home is part of your net worth. The problem with that net worth is you got to sell it or do something to get it. So what you want to do is look at your liquid net worth that you're going to be able to use one day. So then what we do is we say, well, are we doing well? What's our net worth? Is it growing? And then from there, we start looking at some of the things that cause our net worth to happen, which is a budget. Are we doing a good job? We're reviewing all of these things. We look at our income source. Do we have multiple income sources? Do we have income source big enough to where we can live on 50%? And save 25%. If we don't have a big enough income source, or you're spending too much, and you run a profit and loss by saying, look, I'm going to bring in this, I'm going to live on this. After taxes, I'm going to save 25% of my money. All right. And then we're going to make changes. We say, well, we need to focus on maybe raising our income, cutting our expenses, creating the gap. And we project a year from now, if we do this, where we're going to be, we get motivated where we're going, and life becomes pretty good. You put it on paper, always have a written plan to make this happen. And then what you have is money working for you rather than you working for money. You have confidence rather than worry when it comes to your money. And so what I'm going to do now is kind of encourage you to, I'm going to give you a little game plan that you might want to do. So let's think about this. Number one, you got to have a goal. That's your FIN number. Number two, we got to have our net worth. Find out where you're at. Take time. Take 20, 30 minutes and line up everything you have minus everything you owe. Look at the things you need to get rid of that you can cut debt and save more money, cut overhead, that kind of deal, and start saving more money. And if you'd like help on something like that, go to roymatlockjr.com, download some of our resources, and tune in next week, because next week we're going to get into your at or near retirement, and you're trying to put together your income plan so you can retire, you know, for and never worry in the future. So with that being said, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.